Tonight, we're going to be looking at the next parable in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. But we're going to read together from verse 18 through 22. So if you'll turn with me in your copy of God's Word, that's Mark chapter 2, starting at verse 18. Hear now God's word. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples fast, and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the wedding guest fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast in that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts a new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins." The reading of God's word. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word, which is powerful and active. It's alive. And we pray, Father, that you would open our eyes by your Holy Spirit to see the wonderful things in it. And we pray, Lord, that as we look into your word, Lord, I ask that you would speak through my lips, and that your people would behold the glorious salvation that we have in Christ. They would see the glories of our Savior. And so we ask for your blessing to the end that we might be built up and his glory seen in us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, last month, I was over at my mom's house helping her do some repair on her back deck. And I was using a cordless saw that she had. And so we pulled it out, but the battery, it hadn't been used in a few years, and the battery was not very good. It wasn't very strong, and it didn't hold a charge for very long. So we got on the internet and did a little research and discovered that since then, they've begun making these new batteries. The old battery technology was the nickel-cadmium. Now they make these lithium-ion batteries, which are more powerful and can hold a charge for longer. So I thought, great, we'll get a new battery and a new lithium-ion battery for my mom's cordless saw. But as I was doing the research, I quickly realized that if I bought a new battery, it would do me no good because it wasn't designed to fit onto the old saw. So what I needed was an entirely new saw with a new battery. And this is Jesus' point in these parables that he's in our passage tonight. His point here is that we are in need of an entire and complete salvation, but that is what he has come to offer to us. And so he tells two parables to explain this idea. And the two parables are similar, but they each highlight a different aspect of Jesus' point here. And his points are really two, and we're going to look at both of these points. First, Jesus is teaching that he is not simply a patch for our problems. And secondly, he's teaching that Jesus has come to totally transform us. So Jesus is not just a patch, it's not a mere patch for our problems, and he's come to totally transform us. So let's consider the first parable. It's the parable of the new cloth and the old cloth. And He says in verse 21, "No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. If he does, the patch tears away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made." Now, perhaps you've bought a new cotton shirt, and then you put it in the washer and in the dryer, and you pull it out, and you try it on, and lo and behold, it's shrunk down a size, right? As you know, new cloth, right, when it gets wet and then dries, it shrinks. And so what Jesus is saying here, he's using this image. He's saying if you have an old garment and it's got some tears or some holes, if you take a patch of new cloth and you put it on there, it's not going to work, because as soon as that new cloth gets wet and then dries, it's going to shrink and tear away, and it's going to rip the garment, and you're going to be left with a worse tear. And as I said, Jesus here is saying, right, that he has come to bring a full and complete salvation, and Jesus can't be treated as a patch. Now, to understand what he's really saying here, you have to remember what's just happened. Some people, we learn in one of the other Gospels, or they're disciples of John, come, and they've observed that the Pharisees, they're fasting. They fast twice a week. And John's disciples also fast regularly. But Jesus' disciples don't fast. And so they wonder, Jesus, why is it that your disciples don't fast? You see, the Pharisees were attempting in their fasting and all of their works to build up a righteousness. They're trying to build up their own good standing in the sight of God and in the sight of others. And so by keeping a list of rules, they're attempting to earn favor in God's sight and in the sight of others. And they, of course, thought they were doing pretty good in this, right? You remember when Jesus tells the parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector, and there the Pharisee prays, "Lord, I thank you that you've not made me like this poor sinner, and I thank you that I fast twice a week, and so therefore I'm not indebted in the way that this sinner is to you," right? But what Jesus is telling these disciples, and he's telling the Pharisees, is that you are in need of a completely new righteousness. And you think you're doing pretty good. And some of the Pharisees, as you might recall, Nicodemus, looked somewhat favorably. They respected Jesus. And they thought, maybe he's a teacher from God, and he may have some good things, for us. That may help us in adding to what we already have going here. But what Jesus is saying is, no, the garments that you have made for yourselves are old and worn. And what you don't need just a couple of new religious techniques or a couple of new deeds to add. You don't need another patch to add. You need a completely new garment. See, the disciples of Jesus had found in him a true righteousness. They had found in him a complete cleansing of their sins, total forgiveness. And they had found in him freedom from the condemnation of the law. So they weren't bound to the system that the Pharisees had created. And so and the problem with the Pharisees is that they viewed the teaching of Jesus as just a nice add-on to their own religious efforts. And, we can also be easily tempted into that kind of legalism, can't we? Right? You might think, I've done all these good things. I'm a good neighbor. I do all the right things, and, I'm a pretty good parent. So I just need a little bit of Jesus occasionally to kind of pick up the slack. But otherwise, I'm doing pretty good. But if your good deeds are the garment that you've been sewing, right, it's old and it's worthless. And Jesus has come to give you an entirely new garment. There are other ways that we can treat Jesus as a patch too, right? Sometimes we can kind of keep Jesus off in the corner and think, okay, Jesus is there, so if I really get into some trouble, then I can always go to him. But I can sort of take care of the rest of my life on my own. Thank you very much. But Jesus, here in this parable, is saying it doesn't work that way. So I'm not a patch, but I've come to give you a complete salvation. So we need, right, you need to receive Jesus, not just as a patch, but you need to receive him as a whole package. Or to use the language of his parable, you need to take Jesus, receive him whole cloth. Now, so this is the first parable. The second parable that Jesus gives here is in 22. And he says, "No one puts new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But new wine is for fresh wineskins." Now, back in those days, wine was kept in wineskins. They were essentially a large animal like a deer. The skin had been sewn up into a big container for wine. And so as these wineskins were used to hold wine, over time, they would eventually start drying out and become brittle and prone to cracking. And so you didn't put new wine into an old wineskin because wine ferments. And when wine first begins fermenting, like anything else that ferments, think of yeast and bread, it starts to expand. So if you tried putting new wine into an old wineskin, it would start to expand, and eventually, right, it would just burst that wineskin, and it would spill out, and losing the wine, and then destroying the wineskin, so that the old wineskin couldn't even hold the old wine. Now, in this parable, Jesus is teaching that he has come to change everything. And that when you receive Jesus whole cloth, when you receive his righteousness, right, he changes everything. Now remember, again, in this passage, that Jesus' disciples were being compared both to the Pharisees and to the disciples of John. Now if you remember, the disciples of John certainly had a great respect for Jesus because they knew that John the Baptist had approved of Jesus. And so they respected him and often approached him to ask him questions. But in John's gospel, you might remember in John's gospel, John chapter 1, when John the Baptist, shortly after he baptizes Jesus, he looks at Jesus and he points to him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And John, in his account there, tells us that there were two disciples of John who, when they heard John say that, left John and began to follow Jesus. Right? Because they recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. And so they said, "We're going to follow the Messiah. We're all in." But these other disciples who have come to question Jesus about fasting are apparently disciples who respect Jesus but have not left to follow Jesus, right? Because what they have missed and what they have failed to see was that Jesus was not just simply another great prophet who has some beneficial things to help us, but that he was the Messiah, whom all the prophets had spoken about. He is the one who was the fulfillment, the substance of all that the Old Testament shadows pointed to. Jesus is the full reality. And so when the disciples, right, Jesus' disciples recognized that, right, it changed everything in their lives, and they began to follow Jesus. And so, Jesus here in this parable is saying, right, the salvation he brings totally changes everything. Jesus offers not just his righteousness, right, but he also has come not just to give his righteousness, but to transform your life. Wine is a symbol throughout much of the scripture, is often a symbol of life. New wine is a symbol of new life. And Jesus has come to give that life, that new life, right? As he said to his disciples, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have life abundantly. But you know, we're all coming to this world as old wineskins, right? And because of our sin, we're old wineskins. But Jesus doesn't just come to pour some new wine into old wineskins, but he comes to transform us into new wineskins. And so, as we come to Jesus, right, we cannot compartmentalize Jesus just to one aspect of our life, to one corner of our life. Jesus in this passage is saying that the new life he brings doesn't mix with any other religion. Right, so we can't say, "Well, Jesus, I like this part of you. I'll take you in this part of my life, but in this part of my life, I'm going to keep to my old ways." Right? And Jesus says it doesn't work that way, but I've come to totally transform you. And this is a challenge. This is a challenge to us, right? Because it says, it says, you can't compartmentalize him. You can't say, Jesus, I'll take part of you, but I'm not going to take all of you. I still want to hold on to this part of my old life. If Jesus doesn't become your everything, then in the end, you'll have nothing. And this is what Jesus is saying in his parable. But it's not just a challenge. It's also a glorious promise. Because Jesus offers to us nothing less than complete salvation. Nothing less than salvation of every aspect of us. And perhaps this week, you know, you've recognized the weakness of your flesh. You know, perhaps you've struggled with selfishness or pride or indulgence, envy, unfaithfulness. Maybe you've struggled with someone in your family, your children, or maybe a friend, and you've seen the anger of the old nature coming out. Well, Jesus has come to offer total cleansing, total covering of your sin, a new garment, his righteousness, and he's come to give you his holiness, right, to transform you and to make you into his image, so that you can say, along with the Apostle Paul, when you receive Jesus by faith, you can say with the Apostle Paul, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Praise the Lord. In just a little bit, we're going to go to the Lord's Supper. And as you go to the Lord's Supper, remember that you are feeding on him, that he is offering through his body and blood that total and complete cleansing, and that he is offering the food of himself, which nourishes us and builds us up into holiness. There is nothing that we need more than total cleansing and total transformation, but Jesus offers nothing less. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, that you are a God who has come not just to save part of us, not to just to offer us a patch to be added to our own miserable efforts, but we thank you that you've come to give us total cleansing. We thank you that you've come to give us, to totally transform us and to conform us into the image of our Savior. And we pray that you indeed would do that work in us. And it's through Jesus that we pray with thanksgiving. Amen.